Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Elhamdülillah. Elhamdülillah nestaînuhu ve nestağfiruhu. Ve na'ûzu billahi min şurûri enfusina ve min seyyiâti amâlinâ. Men yehdihillahu fela mudille lehu ve men yudlilhu fela hâdiye lehu. Neşhedü en lâ ilâhe illallah vahdehu lâ şerîke lehu. ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء الكرام, my brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a very easy, natural, perfect deen to follow. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are from amongst the last ummat, having the last kitab, having the last sharia, and blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we know, alhamdulillah, this is your second khutbah. Because after many years, alhamdulillah, we South Africans fasted 30 days. This time, alhamdulillah, there was no one with very good eyesight to see the moon so that we could fast 29 days. So alhamdulillah, we made 30 days of Ramadan. And this is our second khutbah. Throughout the entire Muslim world, currently, we Muslims are in trouble. Wherever we look, unfortunately, the kuffar are taking advantage over us. The mushrikeen, the idol worshippers, are also taking advantage over us. And those who deserve the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are also kicking us and killing us. But Islam is complete, Islam is easy, and Islam is perfect, and Islam has got the solution for everything. So what should we do? How we should react? What is our role? What should be our attitude? Concerning this, respected elders, in Surah Tawbah, verse 33, under that, Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani Rahmatullah Alayhi writes that if Muslims do three things, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us victory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise Islam again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the Muslims prosper. Understand something, nothing is wrong with Islam. Everything is wrong with us. So when we talk of rise of Islam, we talk of rise of Muslims. Provided we follow the formula strictly and adhere to it, and the person that implements that formula individually, inshallah, he will be happy. And if he does it in his house, inshallah, his house, there will be peace and tranquility. And if he executes it in his locality, in his area, that area also will get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they have to do it from provincial country level, any Muslim country implementing it, that Muslim country will shake the world. What is that formula? It's very simple. I will mention it and try to explain it. And certain things that we are going to say that you may not like, but you must think about it.
Too many a time what's happening, Juma talks and e-talks are becoming entertainment. And we go home and say, he gave a very good talk. What he spoke about, you don't know. We need something to be said so that you can start thinking and I can start thinking. Firstly, Aqeedatu Sahiya, that correct beliefs, valid beliefs, beliefs that are in accordance to the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat. Remember, we are from the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat. And our belief should be in accordance with the scholars of the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat. As explained by Imam Maturidi and Imam Abu Musa Ashari, Ramtulali. These are the Imams of Kalam, these are the Imams of Diabolical Theology, that our Aqeedah rests upon their research. And in this age, unfortunately, strange beliefs people hold, which are contrary to the teachings of Islam, basic teachings of Islam. And they preach it, propagate it, and they want us to also to believe in it. Here I will mention one, two things. That for example, now there is a group. They say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is like a Christian belief. They say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after creating the heavens and the skies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sat down on his throne. And once a person believes in that, that means he's giving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala space to sit on. He's giving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shape. And he's making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get into one position. And this belief here is erroneous. And it comes as a result, they have not understood one ayat, istawa ala al-arsh. Which means, some people who translate this, those who are not professionals in translating. And these days everybody who can read some English and who can read some little bit Arabic and understand something, he thinks he's a scholar of Islam. Istawa ala al-arsh, they translate that he sat on his throne. Whereas this is not the meaning. The meaning is istawa ala al-arsh. In another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa huwa dukhan. How will they translate it there? If they have to translate it that he sat on his throne, how will they translate the word dukhan, which means literally smoke? So meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no body attached to himself. Allah's being does not have limbs and bodies, a body attached. So it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focused his attention on the throne. When we make this translation, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focused his attention on the throne, everything is sorted out. Everything is solved. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focused his attention upon the creation of the earth and the skies, samawat and ardh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also focused his attention upon the throne. A second thing, many you will find that they are very worried about this. What happened in Afghanistan? That they say the Taliban lost. And many, unfortunately, went into depression also. That how can the Taliban lose? The Taliban were looking like Muslims, transacting like Muslims, behaving like Muslims. Surely the mercy of Allah should be on them. How come they lost? Why they lost? Here also, unfortunately, what we did was quite erroneous. That when the Taliban were ruling, we were very happy about it. And when the Americans were going to attack with the coalition forces, then we were narrating stories, and unfortunately, some unfounded dreams were being narrated also. Meanwhile, the reality of the situation is Taliban did not lose. Mullah Omar is a very practical person. He just moved with his 50,000 forces away to the mountains to fight a war another day, to fight the battle another day. Just how they had the Russians taken out after 10 years, they understand this game plan. They understand the strategy. But here there is one masala of takdir. There is a masala of takdir that we should understand. That a Muslim must strive, and a Muslim must fight, and a Muslim must go out in the path of Allah. And a Muslim must make jihad. But the result, he must not say that because I am doing this action, definitely victory will reach me. He must do everything and then leave the decision and leave the first love and leave the end result in the hands of Allah, Rabbul Izzah. And exactly what the Taliban did, that they fought and they could not match those people, leaving the decision in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rigidity. And now the media is very quiet about Afghanistan. Why? Because alhamdulillah, the Taliban, the Mujahideen have a field day with those Americans. So that is why they will not report it. And that is why they'll want to move this whole war, because war is business. War is a very lucrative business for them. They'll move it to Iraq, the war. So we should have our taqdeer, the aqeedah about taqdeer, as in accordance with the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. That we work hard and we leave the result in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make effort and we leave the result in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You convey the message and leave the result in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, first, aqeedatu sahiyah. Secondly, amal salihah. Good actions, righteous actions, pious actions. And an action is good when it is classified good in the light of Sharia. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi clearly states that no matter how glittering the action looks, but if it is not in accordance with the Sharia and if it is not approved by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that action is not deserving the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any action, respected elders, done these days, we should check it on the benchmark, that is it in accordance with Sharia, or is it contrary to Sharia, or is it going against the grain of Sharia, or is it an innovation, or is it tantamount to shirk, or what is happening with that action? Respected elders, when we look at our actions, then we must take the Sharia as the criterion. And every action need to be weighed on the scales of the Sharia. That is why Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi and all the pious elders have stated very clearly that if an action is sunnah, but people regard this action which is sunnah to be wajib, then that action becomes an innovation. Why? Because you have taken one action and you have moved it from its place. You have taken that action of sunnah and you have moved it away from its place and put it onto wajib. This action becomes an innovation. Respected elders, that in our country, especially nowadays, that many actions are done now. And we think that these actions are, let those actions which are nafil, now we are bringing them in the stages of sunnah. And those actions which are sunnah, we are bringing them to wajib. Lately one person asked me, and remember clearly, and understand it very clearly, that we are not against the Tabligh Jamaat, and we are not against the Tasawwuf, we are not against the Khanqahs. Provided everything is done according to the Sharia of Islam, we are happy with it. Alhamdulillah, the amount of work that has been done via these darulums and the khanqahs and the Tabligh Jamaat, alhamdulillah, we can be happy about it. Especially in our country, we see the fruits quickly. However, when we cross the limits and when we become extreme, then difficulties arise. Then we have a lot of explaining to do. One person said that to take bed to a sheikh, how is it? Said, no, to take bear to a sheikh is good. To have a sheikh is good. It is sunnat ghair muakida. To take bear to a sheikh is sunnat ghair muakida. To reform yourself is obligatory, is necessary, it is essential. But to take bear to a sheikh, that is sunnat ghair muakida. And according to the jurisprudential terminology, sunnat ghair muakida is equal to mustahab. Mustahab, good, preferable, desirable. Be careful, respected elders, that one is to align ourselves in the tasawwuf and to align ourselves with the sheikh, but do not falter like how the other people have faltered. Do not falter like how the ignorant masses of India and Pakistan have faltered, that they have now become hero worshippers. They are those who worship the dead, and now they are people who worship, unfortunately, the living. The third thing, respected elders, which I want to stress upon is the third point of the formula. One is Aqidatu Sahiya. Second is Amal Soria. Third is Jihad Fi Sabilillah. Respected elders, to make jihad in the way of Allah, li ilahi kalimatullah, so that the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is elevated. And concerning jihad, respected elders, we have got so little information. Every individual, if you ask him about salat and zakat and fasting, he knows something. And about jihad, he knows very little bit. And the world pressure is against jihad at the moment. Mark my word, if we do not wake up, the Imam Sahib in the near future, when he uses the word jihad, they'll arrest him. There is going to be a bill moved in our parliament soon that the word jihad utilized is classified as terrorism. Respected elders, but what is our responsibility? Enjoining what is good, forbidding what is evil. To strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our wealth, with our property, with our blood, with our sweat. Like how Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in did it. Respected elders, no doubt the Tabligh Jamaat is enjoining what is good. And the elders say that they are indirectly forbidding what is evil. I stand subject to correction that currently in the entire world, Muslim world also, there is not one organization that is forbidding evil. There is not one organization that is viciously forbidding evil. And there is so many ahadith saying that when we stop forbidding evil, then the azab of Allah comes, the calamity of Allah comes, the dua is not accepted, then the mercy of Allah is stopped. Respected elders, and we are very complacent about this, that we say no, that we are making jihad. You ask a person that what are you doing? No, I'm making jihad. One now new concept is that many, alhamdulillah, the Tabligh Jamaat take out from the roadsides and bring them in the path, and they start going out for 3 days, 10 days, 40 days, Allah Ta'ala reward them. But now what has happened, they deflect, they cross the floor and they go away to the khankas. And there is now tension between the Khanqah and the Tabligh Jamaat. May Allah Ta'ala grant us sanity and let it prevail, sanity prevail, that they understand each other and they understand they both are serving the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But remember one thing, don't kill the goose that laying the golden egg. Respected elders, that at the same time, that the members of the Jamaat should realize that they are enjoining what is good and partially doing forbidding what is evil. And about jihad, what is jihad? What is the meaning of jihad? What is the significance of jihad? What is the purpose of jihad? And this hadith, they say that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahabas one day after coming from one expedition that Narju means jihad il asgar ila al jihad il akbar, that we are returning from a small jihad to a big jihad. They asked him, what is the big jihad? He said, jihad al nafs. The scholars of hadith are saying this is a concocted hadith. And the people are stressing. And those who say, no, I'm making jihad now, I'm making jihad of the nafs. And when I'm ready, then I'll go make jihad, the other jihad, the jihad of Saif. And one of the names of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Nabi was Saif, the Nabi of the sword. And jihad, I told you now, all these things, who's going to answer these questions? What is Saraya? What is Ghazawat? How many Saraya Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took part in? How many Ghazawat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took part in? Respected elders, how many battles Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wielded the sword? How many battles Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually fought? How many battles Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he got injured? What is faith? What is ghanima? What is anfal? Why we don't know this terminology? Because we are not educated in jihad. And the world is putting pressure on us. And the stupid Americans also want us. They want the Darul Ulum to take out the Kitab al-Jihad, the chapter on jihad, from all the textbooks. And we are listening to it and we are not even making inquiries and we are not even studying that what is jihad. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respected elders, that when he sent out an expedition and he did not take part in it, we call that Saraya. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he took part in it, we call that Ghazawat. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respected elders, he took part in 27, some say more, Ghazawat. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took part in 47 minimum, he sent out 47 Saraya. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respected elders, in 9 of these battles he himself personally wielded the sword. And in 2 of them he was injured. Respected elders, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respected elders, when he captured an area and the booty that came, that is called Anfal. Forbidding evil, respected elders, which is an integral part of deen, has left us. And when we realize that we have to now organize ourselves and forbid the evil, there should be a group of people should be doing this work of forbidding evil, and they should be taking out corruption. And you, the public, should be supporting this group of people, and this group of people should be amongst the ulama, pioneered and piloted by the ulama ikram. And they are ulama ikram, alhamdulillah, who are standing up, but they are standing up individually, they are not standing up collectively. Respected elders, like of late, alhamdulillah, when there was one radio program and someone spoke out and said there is no such thing as stoning in Islam, stoning punishment for adultery in Islam, then the local imam, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala reward him and another chef, they reprimanded them and said, no, that this is wrong. As far as the radio stations are concerned, respected elders, that is another catastrophe, mess that is going on in our country. Currently, hear me, currently in our country there is not one kosher radio station. Why? Because there is no quality control. There is no group of ulama who are sitting and watching, hearing what is going on. And what is happening? Ladies are coming on and flirting. And now what is happening? I hear one radio station, one molana is advertising, he's become an announcer and advertising funky clothing. Soon he'll be advertising lingerie. And this is Warisul Anbiya. And Warisul Anbiya must do advertising and advertising these products. There has to be also a think tank, respected elders. A think tank that will tell the country where to go, what to do, tell the people what to do. Because unfortunately we're making errors upon errors. The Muslim schools that we started, which direction are they going to? And now the Muslim personal law that is being drafted for parliament, if that goes through, respected elders, there won't be a worse calamity in our country than that. Because that Muslim personal law is so un-Islamic, it is unreal. And the ulama are crying and saying that is un-Islamic, but still the forces are trying to push it through. So respected elders, there is so much work to do. Basically, there should be a group starting to join what is good and forbid evil. In the time of Taliban, they started this. Mullah Umar, etc., they had started it in Afghanistan. There was a group, and lately they destroyed that building there in Kabul and in Kandahar. Then there was a group of people who had started forbidding evil, respected elders. So there should be education, basic education on jihad. There should be basic education on how to forbid evil. And every child, how he understands, he knows what is happening in all the sports, he knows about cricket, he knows what is happening on television. Every child, how he is taught about the maslas, about salat and zakat and about wuzu and taharat, he should be taught the laws about jihad, forbidding what is evil. Then inshallah we'll be making some progress. So remember, three things will bring harmony and tranquility in our hearts and our localities and our country if we implement it. And my request is that we should organize ourselves under the ulama, encourage the ulama, and start forbidding evil. The three things are aqidatu sahiya, amal saliha, and jihad fi sabilillah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان من طين ثم جعله نطفة في قرار مكين ثم سواه خلقا آخر وهداه بفضله من الهدى والدين ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له رب السماوات والأرضين ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله إلى كافة الخلق أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال الله تبارك وتعالى في موضع آخر يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا وقال الله تبارك وتعالى في موضع آخر لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه وذلك أضعف الإيمان أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن والسنة ونفعنا وإياكم بما فيهما من الآيات والذكر الحكيم أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته أجمعين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأقضاهم علي رضي الله تعالى عنه، وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنها، والحسن والحسن. الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأهم وأتم وأكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. فإذا نزل بساحتهم فساء صباح المنذرين، وتول عنهم حتى حين، وأبصر فسوف يبصرون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان برحمتك يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم وامكر لهم ولا تمكر عليهم وثبت أقدامهم وانصرهم على القوم الكافرين والمشركين. اللهم عجل بنصرهم يا قوي يا عزيز إنك على كل شيء قدير. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.